let's look a little bit at God's Word. I wish you would turn over to Genesis chapter 41 for just a moment. Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. We have been looking, as everyone knows, at the life of this great man, this great patriarch, Joseph. Patriarch means a father. And it has been a blessing to look at the whole story beginning way back some three, four, five chapters before this, and just an exciting story altogether. And here was this man, Joseph. I found that this is probably one of the favorite stories among those who are young people in particular. They're fascinated by this story because when the Bible begins this story, Joseph is quite young. And then also it is a great story because we get to see the development in his life from the time he was quite a young man and as he begins to grow up in the Lord. You know, I've enjoyed watching these folks who are out of our church and beginning to grow and serve the Lord. And it's been fun for me in a lot of ways. One, I've had to change a lot of my preconceived ideas about it. You know, you think, well, a young person ought to just really dedicate himself to the Lord once and for all and just really live for the Lord. And then I ask myself, is that what happened with you? And the answer, of course, comes back, well, no, not exactly. There was that crisis point, but it takes a lot of living, a lot of growing, and just a lot of, I don't know, sometimes setbacks. You have those. I don't know whether it takes it or not, but you do have those. And it's just kind of been enjoyable to watch it. Now, we look to Joseph in a lot of different ways. And one of them is here in verse 46. Now, you remember that Joseph has just been given just about total authority in the land of Egypt. He has so impressed Pharaoh that Pharaoh has said, you know, Joseph, there is no man in all the kingdom who's as wise and discreet as you are, discreet and wise as you are. You have proven by the fact you're able to interpret this dream of mine, these dreams of mine, and it's so patently true that you are so discreet and wise, and so you've suggested that I put someone over the whole nation who will prepare us for this time of famine that's coming, and who would I find is better than you? And so instantly Joseph goes from being a prisoner in Pharaoh's a darkest prison down there, to suddenly, within an hour or so's time, he is the ruler over all the land of Egypt, second only unto Pharaoh. And so it is an exciting, exciting story. Now, there is something in chapter 41 and verse 16 that I think is so significant, but it's something that we would typically buzz past. Verse 16 says this, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now let's stop and pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, just strengthen me, that you would fill me with your Spirit so that I might lead this rather complicated service. Lord, you know all that we need to do here, and I pray that you'd give me great wisdom about it, and then, Lord, that I would not neglect the Word in all of that. Lord God, I pray now that you would strengthen your children as of this night, or for as a result of this night. And in Jesus' name, I pray it. Amen and amen. I need to ask you a very important question. And that question is, here we see Joseph's age given. Now, you'll note that all through this this whole series of messages on Joseph, I have been guessing about how old he would have been. I've said on several occasions, well, I think Joseph would have been in his early 20s here. And then later on, I would say something like, I suspect Joseph might be maybe toward his mid-20s right about now, just judging from the events that we're told about in the Scripture. But here, for the first time in a long time, we have an age marker. The Lord, in Holy Writ right here, says Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. Now, that is interesting in a lot of ways. But I want to ask you just a moment. Why do you think God chose to give Joseph's age at this particular moment? Why did he do it? It is one of those Selah moments, isn't it? Here you've got Joseph, and he has finally had all the doors open up to him. He has finally had what he has been waiting for and praying for, no doubt, and hoping for and anticipating and longing for. All those things have come to pass, and Joseph has arrived now. Don't you look forward to that time when, and we have lots of expressions for it, when our ship's going to come in, when the time is going to come, when we're going to arrive, when we're going to hit center stage, and all those things. We always wonder when that's going to happen. Well, here it's happened to Joseph. His hour has come. The fullness of time has come in Joseph's life, and he is on center stage here. He's got all the opportunity to do what he needs to do. He's got all the power to do what he needs to do. Joseph has arrived, and the Bible picks that particular moment to say, here's how old Joseph was. He was 30 years old. Now, why? Selah, you read it a lot in the Psalms. It basically means pause and think about it. Meditate on it. So, do it. Okay, was that weird or what? You know, we're just not used to silent pulpits, are we? And yet, God says sometimes just let the people think. Let me think of it a little bit. Let them listen to God's voice just a moment. Why does God do that? Now, we might be tempted to say, well, you know, it was just a little bit of interesting trivia that God put in. Trivia is short for trivial, right? So would there be anything trivial in Scripture? I doubt that rather seriously. In fact, what we have here is something that God specifically wanted to point out for our edification. So why does God say that right now Joseph was 30 years old? You know, I think there is a clue in this if you study the whole story. There is only one other time in all the life of Joseph when God pins down through his man Moses how old Joseph was. Do you know the only other time in this whole story when we're told how old Joseph was? He was 17 years old. Thank you, Brother James. He was 17 years old, and it goes all the way back to the beginning of the story in Genesis chapter 39. He was 17 years old, and he was this young, fuzzy-faced kid, and he was just... he was 17 years old. He was just starting. He was daddy's favorite. He was probably mama's favorite too. He was just the it there in his home, but he was very naive. He was very, a little too outspoken. Remember that Joseph so long ago in our story? The one who would have these dreams and he would tell all his brothers. You know, and here were his brothers who were just sitting around there fascinated with Joseph's dream. Oh, Joseph, please tell us more, they must have been saying. If you want to bore people, tell them your dreams. You know, tell them in all kinds of vivid detail. Take an hour and a half to tell it, and you will bore them absolutely silly. Well, anyway, and Joseph did that not once, but twice. And to make it worse, even in the midst of those dreams, Joseph was always the hero. Now, if you want to not just bore people, but make them mad, tell them about how you're going to be the hero. Tell them about how you're going to be wonderful, and they're just going to be an extra in what's coming up. Oh, that they'll love that, absolutely. So anyway, that is the moment at which Joseph's age is given. He is 17 back then, and now he is 30 years old. Now, why does God say that? Beloved, I am convinced that God says that because He wants us to understand that it took Joseph 13 years for God Almighty to get him trained for what God wanted him to do. For what God had out there for him, it took 13 long years in which there were some ups, yes, but there were so many downs, and Joseph was down, and then he was back up, and then he was down, and then the thing was just like a roller coaster all during his life, except for when the roller coaster seemed to break down, and he was there in jail. He couldn't get out, and so there was this long period of God working and working and working in his life. Now, why does God say that? Why does God point that out? Beloved, I am convinced it is because He wants you to never be discouraged with His working in your life. He wants to show you that you will get there. If you will keep trusting, if you will keep letting God have His way in your life, you will get to where God wants you to be. Do you know the only thing that will frustrate the will of God in your life? There's only one thing. And that is if you become a quitter. If you bail out on God, that is the only thing that will frustrate God's will. God will, He will work on you and He will work on you. And sometimes, don't you know that Joseph must have been screaming out and saying, God, please give me a break. Please give me a break. Have you ever been there with God? Mercy, please give me a break. Have you noticed that God will only hear that prayer if He thinks it's best? So many times I've reasoned with God. I really have. Now, God, clearly You can see this. Clearly You can see that I need a break. You know, clearly You can see that. I mean, God, this is so obvious that You need to come through here and change this or that. I've found that God, as loving as He is, tends to sometimes turn a deaf ear to that. It's like He goes, and the old ear closed. Oh, that hurts. Oh. Isn't it funny, Brock, how these body parts are not flexible like they used to be? Wow. Anyway, and so, that still hurts. All right. Next time I'm going to use your ear. Okay. But God does that. You know, it's so funny, though. I think there's another reason for this. I find it many times Christians question themselves in these moments. When they question themselves. One parent, not that long ago, was very disturbed about what the child was doing. The child had hit some of those years where they were making their own decisions, and they had not been good decisions. And finally they had hit the point where they made a really bad one. Really bad one. And this parent said to me, just so innocently. Sometimes when you're in desperation, you can say the goofiest things, right? This parent said so innocently. They said, did I do something wrong while I was raising him? Think about that. Now, if that isn't the question, did I do something? All of you folks, all you parents who never did anything wrong raising your kids, will you please stand right now? Did you do anything? Of course you did something wrong. We all did. My nightmares at night are my kids will tell. You know, that's what my nightmares are at night. That they might tell. They might put it in the newspaper what we did. You know, it's nightmares. I have nightmares at night about that. And so, of course we did something wrong. But we should never think that because we do something stupid that God's plan is derailed. God's been working with people like us for thousands of years. And what God does is that He continues to work with you and continues. And some lessons are very difficult to learn. And some people say, well, preacher, why does it have to take so long? Can I tell you that, first of all, that's normal? Here was Joseph. And Joseph's very unique. Because if you go back into Joseph's life and examine it, you'll find that he's unique in that no sin is ever attributed to Joseph. Now, he committed sins, but he is what is called a type of Christ in Scripture. And so because he is a type of Christ, God, I wouldn't say he glosses over those sins, but he just doesn't reveal them to spoil the type. And so here's Joseph. He's a type of Christ. He was naive, yes, but he never sinned. He just naived his way into various things in his youth. So he was a perfect type of Christ. Now think about that. Here is this perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to what the Bible reveals to us, got everything right. And it still took 13 years. So, should you be discouraged that it's taken you a while to grow? Of course not. He got it all right. I certainly will never be accused of that, will you? You know, a lot of times those particularly who give themselves to be Christian workers, they're surprised. They think, well, I'll just kind of go in this intensely. I'll give myself, and 6 months from now, I'll be ready to go. That is not how it happens. A year from now, I'll be ready to go. 2 years from now, I'll be ready to go. No. It will take years for you to grow enough to learn how to really be an effective servant for God. And you should not be discouraged with that. It took Joseph 13 years. Frankly, it took God 16 years after I surrendered to preach the gospel before He would ever trust me with the church. When I surrendered to preach the gospel, I was 18 years old and I started preaching then. I could preach then. You know, not well, but I could preach. And so I was 18 years old. I was 18 years old. And God trusted me with the church full time as a senior pastor when I was 36. That's a long time. But I have found many times that is the way of God. Some move faster than that, yes, of course. But that is the way of God. It takes time to do it. And I think God wants us to understand that. Because we human beings, now I'm going to tell you something you did not know. Nobody knows this but me. Human beings are impatient, right? Y'all didn't know that. Now, you can write that down and take that home. Oh, Brother Tom told us something that we didn't know tonight. Human beings are impatient. And we think everything happens right now. Or else God's late. No, God is never late. God is always just right there and right on time. He is never. And really, when you get a grip on that, when you really understand that, it is such a sweet blessing to back up and let God work. Just back up and let God work. Let God be God. And let Him work in your life. I had visions tonight of just slowing this service down and letting various people tell about the twists and turns of the path of their spiritual growth. I thought really about letting some of the veteran Christians do that. Tell about the twists and turns of it. You would be so surprised. Sometimes we look at those who seem to have achieved sainthood on earth, and we think, wow, they must have just never had the struggles I've had. Wrong. Oh, it's just so wrong. And if you could listen to them tell about when they goofed up, and when they went in this period of spiritual decline and God had to rescue them and bring them out, if you could listen to all that, it would be so revealing and it would bring some balance back to your whole concept of this thing. It takes time for God to prepare someone for life and what He has for them out there. And we ought to bless our Lord as we observe the communion tonight. I wish you would think about that. I wish you, since we've got some other things we need to do, but As we observe that communion tonight, I want you to bless the Lord who died for your sins and was buried and rose again, yes, clearly, but who also loved you enough to work with you and work with you and work with you and work with you and never become discouraged with you and never become so angry with you that He turned Himself away and stopped His work. But God loves you. Now, you have just heard the shortest sermon you will ever hear at Crooked Creek. That was it right there. Mark it down. Look at your watch. You're not going to believe it. The reason is this. An unusual thing has happened here. Where's Mason? Is Mason here? There's Mason back there in the back. Mason has been for some years, stand up just a minute, Mason, if you will. I'll see you. Mason's been for some years asking us down in the men's prayer meeting to pray for his schools, and most recently as he's gotten into high school, he's asked us to pray for East Jackson High School, and that's where he goes to school. Thank you. You can be seated now, Mason. And we've prayed earnestly that God would send a mighty movement of His Spirit there. Well, you're not going to believe this, but tomorrow morning, prior to the school time, the leader of the ROTC there at East Jackson is a Christian man. And he has arranged within the scope of that ROTC thing to have a literal revival meeting inside the school tomorrow morning. That happens. There's going to be a preacher there. I don't know this preacher. I think he's out of Nicholson Baptist. And he's going to be preaching. Tuesday morning, Brother Ricky's going to be preaching. Now, do you think they might hear the gospel Tuesday morning? Think they might. Now, it's an unusual thing, but it's supposed to happen. I'm just amazed at it. Wednesday, when else do you preach, Rick? You preach Thursday? Ricky preaches Tuesday and Thursday. And I thought it would be really a good thing for us to pause and have prayer for Brother Ricky, that God's Spirit would be upon him. Mason is going to be involved. I was quizzing him this morning, and I heard something that put me back on my heels. Mason was talking to me. He was asking me if they could borrow some Bibles from the church. They anticipate people without Bibles there. I said, you better believe you can, Mason. You can have whatever. And so the guys are arranging for them to get that and take it over there. But I said, Mason, I'm just so happy that you're a Christian worker in this, that you'll be able to serve God and work around there. He said, yeah. He said, but I'm kind of nervous. He said, they've asked me to speak one night. So, Mason, you talk about being on the hot seat. He's on the hot seat. Y'all think we might need to pray for Mason too? He was telling me, he said, I've been thinking about it, and he gave me the scripture that he'd been thinking about. And some time ago, y'all probably remember this, Mason said he felt like the Lord had called him to serve the Lord. It's fascinating. By the calendar, by all we read in the story of Joseph and all, Mason wouldn't be ready right now, but God has opened the door. So you think God can open the door and help someone who may not be ready for what they're getting into? You ever had God throw you in over your head? Well, Mason has been thrown in way, way over his head. His mother, I just look back there, Ann is back there biting her fingernails right now. You got a right to bite your fingernails. I mean, really. I'll bring mine back there. You can bite them next if you run out of yours. Get yours all bitten off. Well, it's just an exciting thing. So, before we observe the communion, I think it just wouldn't feel right after we observe the communion. I want to ask those two guys, Mason and Brother Ricky, to come up. And I want y'all to, and I'm going to let them kneel up here. And I want several of you men, if you will, to come. Wait a minute. I'm trying to figure out how I can do the ladies. Let's do this. Mason, why don't you come sit on this side over here, okay? And Brother Rick, you come right over here on this side, if you will, okay?